Today's Shi'ez Masech Davai Dezara Daf Ayin Hey. We will begin on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We had learned in our Mishnah that under certain circumstances, the way we clean a gas, a place where they crush the wine, is with niguv. Ask the Gemara b'ma menagvan, exactly how is the niguv done? Rav Amar b'mayim, Rav says it's done with water. It's done with ash, which was a detergent that they would use to use. Says the Gemara, Rav Abba Mamayim, Rav's opinion is that water is used. Says the Gemara, what that meant was, Mamayim V'loy Be'efer, we specifically use water, and we don't use this detergent. Rav Abba B'chana Abba Be'efer, and when Rav Abba B'chana says water, whenever said Efer, says my Efer v'loy b'mayim, is that true? Says the Gemara's question is, how could you possibly have niguv without water? And therefore, because of this question, Elo says the Gemara, Rav Amar b'mayim, Rav says with water, and when Rav says with water, who didn't Efer? We have to use Efer after. We have to use Efer after the water. And Rabbi B'chana Amal Efer, the Rabbi B'chana who said about Efer, he holds you have to use Mayim, you have to use water as well. Says the Gemara, if Rav said Efer, that when Rav spoke about the water and the Efer, and Rabbi B'chana spoke about the Mayim and the Efer with the water, says the Gemara, Loi Pligi, there's no Machloikis. No, simply we would learn. The Rav is learning that you use the water and then the Efer. And Rav Abachana is saying that you use the Efer and then the water. Says the Gemara, there's no really no machlokes. Rather, Haber Tifta, Haber Yevishta. It makes a difference what when Rav Abachana said that you use Efer and after water, he's talking about a gas that still has some moisture. And since we're talking about a gas that has some moisture, you don't have to put on the water. You don't have to put on the water first. At first, you put on the Efer, and then after the water. And when Rav said you do water and then Efer, he's talking about a gas that's dry, and therefore you do the water and then the Efer. Itmar, says the Gemara, Rav Mishmei de Rav Ami. In the yeshiva of Rav, they said in the name of Rav, when we spoke about this process, it means tarti tlas. You have to do either two or three steps. By guess yevesha that doesn't have any moisture of the wine, we do two steps. First the water, and then the efer. By gas that's still moist, we need three steps. Efer, mayim, and then efer. V'Shmuel says that the amount of steps a tlas arba, either three or four steps. By a moist gas, there are three steps. Efer, mayim, and efer. By a gas yevesha, there are four steps. Mayim, efer, mayim, and then efer. Says the Gemara, Besur mas nahachi. That's the way this discussion was learned in Surah. However, Upamadisa Masna, in Upamadisa they studied this, is that by Rav Amri Mishmei de Rav, in Yeshiva of Rav, they said Tlas Arba, that by, there's either three or four steps. By Gas Yevesha, there are three steps. Mayim Efer Mayim. By moist gas, there are four steps. Efer Mayim, Efer Mayim. V'Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Arba V'Chamish. There are either four or five steps. By moist gas, there's four steps. Efer mayim, efer mayim. By gas yevesh, there are five steps. Mayim, efer, and then mayim. Says the Gemara, so we've had here two different versions of how to understand the various situations we speak about. And seemingly, it seems that Surah and Masna weren't learning the same way. But says the Revelai Pligi, there really is no machlokes. Ma kachosh mai besroi. Then Surah, They did not bother mentioning the last time that they put water after they put the afer. And in Pupadisa, they did bother mentioning that time. I saw a very interesting point made here. We know that Rashi begins the Chumash with Amar Rav Yitzchak, the Torah should have started with a Kaddish Chazel Lechem. The Torah should have begun with teaching us the halacha of Kiddush HaChodesh, that's the first mitzvah. Why did the Torah begin with Bereishis? Says Rashi, because Koyach Masav Higel La'amai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to tell us that he created the world, and given that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he owns the world, and he decided to give Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. So there are those that want to suggest that Rashi was quoting his father, who was Rabbi Yitzchak, who wasn't necessarily a very big Talmud Chacham, and he wanted to show respect to his father. That's why he began the Torah by saying something from his father, Rabbi Yitzchak. But the Chidah says that Rabbi Yitzchak, that there's a concern, was he or wasn't he a Talmud Chacham, is not yet Rashi's father. Because in our Gemara, we have Rashi, Divrei Maskeloi Pligi, and Rashi says, Abba Mairi Menachasu Kovid, says the Gemara, Vahu Nir Be'enai. So it's very clear that Rashi's father was actually a Talmud Chacham. And that Rabbi Yitzchak that is being quoted is just the Rabbi Yitzchak that was mentioned in the Medrash, nothing to do with respect for his father. Baminem Rabbi Hu continues the Gemara, they asked Rabbi Hu the following question. Hani Gurni Daramoi. There are these types of rope strings that they used to tie the grapes together with when they were squeezing them for wine. That the grapes, they put a heavy beam on top of the grapes. And since they put a heavy beam on top of the grapes, they were concerned that the grapes should not get dispersed. So the question was, Hani Gita Gurni Daramoi, these ropes that were used to tie the grapes, what is the halacha mai? What is the halacha regarding those grapes? How do we make those ropes? How do we make them? How do we kasha them? Amal Rav Avua Tanasua. We learned this in the Braises. The Braises says, "Hareisha Egita Veves Badov," at the place where they make wine, Tameim, that they absorbed wine or oil that's Tamei, or Bigish Lasos Batara, and now he wants to make him Tahar. What does he do? What he do is Hadafim, the big boards that they put the grapes on, Vadashim, the place where they put the grapes for crushing, Lulovim, they had like brooms which they used to sweep the grapes that started getting dispersed. Medichan, all you need to do is just wash them with water. Even though the Brice is speaking about Taharis, the Rishonim point out the Aloch of Taharis and the Aloch of Yai Nesach will be the same. Ha-kolim, the ropes that are used to tie together the grapes, which we just called Nurgin. Menagvon, Aklin, says that whenever Aklin, shall Nitzarim, shall Bitzputz, if they're made out of branches or they're made out of canvas, Menagvon, they use Mayim and Afer because they absorb more than just the regular wine. Shall Shifa v'shal Gemi, if they are made out of Gemi, different types of more porous material, that absorb more. Miyashnim Shnei Masachodesh, we have to let them sit like this for 12 months. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Menichem Megas Lagas Umibad Labad. You have to let them sit unused for, they have to let them leave unused for a year. Says the Gemara, Haina Tanakama. There's a year between seasons. So if the Tanakhama said a year, and Shimon Gamaliel says we wait from one season to the other season, that is the same amount of time, a year. What's the machlokes? Answers the Gemara, Ikavanaya Chorfa V'Afli. Sometimes there's more or less time than a year between the seasons. Sometimes the grapes get ripe earlier. And if the grapes get ripe earlier, there's less than a year between seasons. And sometimes the grapes get ripe the next year quicker, and there's more than 12 months between the seasons. Rav Yossi Omer, so Rav Yossi says, Aroitz l'tar miyad, if somebody wants to be able to use these ropes that are made out of sheaf and gemi, and they don't want to wait a year, magilan b'roischem, he could put them into boiling water, oichalta b'meizesim, and he could cook them in water that the grapes were cooked in. And since if you cook them, that will be the way to kasha them. There's a discussion in the Rishonim what is meant when it says meizesim. The way Rashi explained is that the meizesim are cooked and they take the pot, they are equivalent to cooked water. But there are other Rishonim that say the meizesim, which is water that olives were soaked in, or the water that the olive comes out from, that water could serve as a detergent. And since that water could serve as a detergent, it doesn't have to be hot. You put it under a pipe that water is running, or under a spring where water is running, the kama, and how long do they have to be left there that they should become kashered, says the Gemara, oina. And continues the Braisa, Bigderach Shamar B'yayin Nesach, whatever the halacha is regarding making a place that was used for Yayin Nesach kosher, kach amra b'taharis. Ask the Gemara, klapalaya. The wording of the Gemara should have been just the opposite, because as we pointed out, the Braisa is speaking about Taharis. So what the Gemara should have said, asked the Gemara, Bekaris coming in. The Braisa is speaking about the halacha, how we kasher for Taharis. And what it should have been said is that whatever is the halacha for Taharis is also the halacha for Yai Nesach. Says the Gemara, indeed, that's the way we have to explain. Kederach Shomer b'Taharis, whatever was said by Taharis is what the halacha requires. Kach amru b'yayin nesach, so too is the halacha by yayin nesach. So the Gemara said that what Rav Shimon Gamaliel's opinion was, the way to kasher it is by leaving them under running water for an oina. Ask them of a kama oina, how long is an oina? Says the Gemara, amru b'chibar abba, amru b'yoychran, oyoyim oylaila, a day or a night. Rav Chanan Shina, Vamrile, Rav Chana bar Shina, Amar Rabba bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chatzi Yom v'Chatzi Laila, half a day and half a night. To which comments Rav Shmu bar Yitzchak, V'loi Pligi, Hava Tekufas Nishan v'Tishrei, in Tekufas Nishan and Tishrei. So we know that's when the day and night are equal 12 hours each. So that's when the Gemara said, O Yom O Laila, Hava Tekufas Nishan v'Tishrei, Hava Tekufas Tamas v'Tavis, in the summer, the night is very short and the day is very long. In the winter, the night is long and the day is short. So just having it by day or just having it by night during those seasons, you won't have 12 hours. So in order to have 12 hours, you have to take from day and night. That was what's meant. Amar Rav Yehuda Hani Revoked Deramoi. The set bags that they put the wine, they put the grapes in. If the mazia, if they're made out of hair of a person, medichon, all that you need to do is wash them, and that's the way they will become kashered. Because if they're made out of human, since they're made out of hair, says Rashi, they don't absorb that much, and since they don't absorb that much, just washing them is enough. Actually, other Rishonim say it's not just that they don't absorb that much, they don't absorb at all. The Amra, but if they're made out of wool, Menagvan, we have to have the process that we began our shiur today with of Efer and Mayim. Udekitna, if they're made out of linen, Miyashnan, they can't be used for 12 months. V'yikah Katri, if they have knots, the halacha is that shari lehu, that we have to open up the knots, because we have to be concerned that the wine is stuck in those knots, and we have to open up those knots to make sure that any wine that might be there should be, and any wine that might be there should be removed. Says the Gemara, Hani the kul of a chalosu d'ramai, the baskets that are made, that are used, if that belong to a nochri, and therefore since they belong to a nochri, they have an absorption of stam yainim, the chiti b'chavli the tsuri, if they're made out of wicker basket, out of wicker medichon, you just have to wash them, and that will be satisfactory. The tzifza, if they're made out of gemi, lenagvan, then nigov is required. With the kitna, if they're made out of linen, miyashnan, we have to let them sit for 12 months. And again, says the Gemara, v'isbe keturei, if there are knots, sharluhu, we have to open up those knots to get anything that might be stuck there. Itmar, says the Gemara, the question the Gemara begins to discuss is that we have grapes that are in the gas where they crush the grapes. If a tamei person touches some of the grapes, will that affect all of the grapes that are in the glass? Itmar, says the Gemara, Itmar Amar Shashash Yadal Gas, Vinagabash Koilus, if an Amar put his hand into the crushing area and touched some grapes, says the Gemara, Rebbe Rabchia, it's a Machlokes Rebbe Rabchia, Chanama Eshkov Akoshu Sivoysov Tameim, this cluster that he touched, and all the grapes around that cluster are tameim. The kol gas kula, and the rest of the gas is tahor. The chadamer kol gas kula nam tameya, that the entire gas, that the entire gas is tamei. The rishonim explain that the machlokes here is how do we learn the halacha of tayfeyach. We've spoken that if there's a moist area, it serves as a way to connect everything. And the question here is, how does the halacha look at Tofeach in connecting, this is a wet area, the place where they crush the grapes. How does the halacha look at that entire area? Says the Gemara, well, the man dama eshkol kosvi said tameim, that only the eshkol itself that was touched and the area around it are tamei. However, kol hagas kol tahor, and the entire gas is tahor. Ask the Gemara Mishnah about Tanan, why is this different from what we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Taharis? Periches Mishnaches, Sheretz Shenimtza Berechayim, if a Sheretz is found in a place where they crush olives, Enem Tamei Amokim Agoi, only the place that the Sheretz itself touched is Tamei, Vim Hoya Mashkin, if there was a lot of liquid there, Mahalach, Hakol Tamei, here it says that the entire area is tamei. Answers the Gemara, Hossam lo mefsek lo midi. There it's just one flat area, and therefore, since the sherets touch one part, the entire area becomes tamei. Hacha mafski eshkoilos. There are separate clusters of grapes, separating and dividing each cluster individually. Arlei rebbeinu Rabbi Yirmiya, v'amalei lebreider Rabbi Yirmiya. Kediri ayma eshkol kol sviyos of tameim, that just the eshkol that was touched and whatever is near it is tamei, v'kolagas kulay tahayu. Halakei klei tashmish, if somebody purchases a keli that's used for food, and of course, as we're going to be learned, it's not just food, a keli that's used to eat food on, but it's also a keli that's used to prepare food on. So says the Mishnah, halakeiach keli tashmish, if somebody buys that type of a keli from a nochri, a shadaka lahachma tatvo, a keli that you just have to toivel, that means you have to immerse, because there's no absorption. It wasn't used for heat. So the only thing that this keli needs is taking it to the mikveh, yatvel, take it to the mikveh, and that's good enough. Lahagel, but if this keli was used and it needs to be kasher through hagolah, that means it was used for cooking in, boiling in. So the way to kasher it is by boiling it out with water, yagel, so you have to do hagolah. The labman ba'or, it was used with heat. without any liquid. So there, liben, blow-torching it, is required. Yilaben ba'ar. Hashfud, the metal on which they put the meat for roasting. Va'askala, another type of equipment that they roasted on meat on. Since there's no liquid involved in the preparation of the food on this equipment, talach is malabna ba'or, the way to kasher them is with liban. Hasakin, when you have a knife, shafa, you have to first sharpen the knife. What that means, according to some paiskim, means that you have to make sure it's perfectly clean, v'itahira, and then you could use it. And we'll speak about in the Gemara Mitzvah much more what are the details of kashering a knife. So the Mishnah just taught us that a vessel which is not used for any hot food, it's only used for cold food, all you need to do is tefillah. However, a vessel that's used for cooking and boiling food, you have to have a golo. A vessel used for roasting or boiling, you need to have liban. The concept behind kashering is Kabbalah Kapaltai. The way the flavor was absorbed is the way the flavor is extracted. So if it's absorbed through boiling, it's extracted through boiling. If it's absorbed through roasting, it's extracted through roasting. The Rashba says that when you have to kasher a keli, you have to kasher the entire vessel. Because he says that there's a concept again in halacha of cham ktsasoi cham kuloi. If part of the vessel is heated, it means that the entire vessel gets hot and absorbs flavor. So therefore, even if the bottom half of a pot was used to cook something non-kosher, the entire pot must be koshered, because the halacha says that the upper part of the pot also conducts heat and absorbs flavor and must be kashered. The Torah agrees with the principle of cham miktsasai, cham kulai, but he says that when you kasher, you only kasher the part where the food was cooked. What about cham miktsasai, cham kulai? So he says, given that we just said that the concept behind kashering is Kabbalah kach paltai, so how did the upper part of the pot absorb whatever it absorbed? It's because the heat from the bottom went up when you were cooking in it. So that's going to be the exact way how to kasher as well. The Ra'a makes an interesting distinction. As we just learned when we're speaking about kashering, there's kashering through agola, there's kashering through libum. He says that when we are kashering through boiling, it's sufficient to just do agola that in the pot that was the way the food was cooked, and the rest will get kashered in the same way it absorbed whatever you're kashering for. However, when you're doing libum, for an example, on a grill, there you have to do libum on the entire grill, for example, that you're kashering. The Ramosha speaks about kashering a machine that was used with steam. He suggests that there may be steam is not going to be adequate. Even though we say Kabbalah Kach Paltai, it may not be that we could say that since the absorption took place through steam, the expulsion also has to be done through steam. And rather, the halacha he suggests is that we should not kasher with steam. Or if we're going to kasher with steam, we have to kasher in such a way that there's condensate, on the vessel that we're kashering from the steam that we're kashering with. Tana, v'kulon, all kalim that we're going to use have to also have tzrichon tefillin b'abam sof. We have to take them to mikvah. Menani mili, Amr says the Gemara, Amr Ravad Amakra, Kodav Eshav Be'esh, Tavir Be'esh V'tar. Anything that is used with heat, you have to kasher with heat. And then the Torah used the word v'toher. And the question is, why? Says the Gemara, what the Torah is teaching us is that besides the kashering, we also have to take it for to mikvah. And the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, explains that this is, the requirement is, because to take it out of the tumah that it had when it's by the Nochri and bring it into the Kedusha when it is by Yisrael. And that's that, this is the halacha that it has to be, that it has to, every keli that we buy from a Nochri has to be toivled. And says the Gemara, Tanya Bakapara, B'tach Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Ach b'mei neidi yischata, shmei ani, shetzar chaza shlishi v'shvi. If a keli became, that a keli should have to have sprinkling on it on the third and the seventh day, just like the mei nida, the water with the paraduma. Tamalayma ach, so that would be the halacha, that every keli we buy from a nakru should have that requirement. It says the pasuk cholak, achalak, that the Torah is saying that it's enough to take it to the mikveh. It doesn't have to have azos shlishi and shvi. So ask the Gemara, so why did the Torah use the word memein nida? To teach us, b'mayim shenida tavels behem, it has to be a kosher mikveh that women use when they need the mikveh. Havayim abam saw, we know that the minimum amount of a kosher mikveh is 40 saw. Says the Israel mikveh tar. So we have two sources for halacha that the keli has to be taken to the mikveh. Why? Says the Gemara, ikos v'tar have a min v'tar kaldahu, that even if the mikveh doesn't have 40 saw, you could use it to put a keli in there. Kasarachman b'mein nida, that just like a nida has to go to a perfectly kosher mikveh, so too must it be taken to a perfectly kosher mikveh. V'kasarachman b'mein nida have a mina. If a woman is a nida and goes to the mikveh, that is inadequate. She also has to have hair of shemesh, the day she passed, and only then is she tar. So here too we would think that that's the halacha when you're taking a keli to the mikveh, that is what is required. Says the Gemara, kas rachmana, v'tar, that's why the Torah used the word v'tar. The Torah by using the word v'tar is coming, the Torah by using the word v'tar is coming to teach us that la'alter, that as soon as it's put into the mikveh, it's 100% tahor, and it doesn't need anything more. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, afil kelim chadoshim b'mashma, that not only are used kelim that are bought from the Nochri taken to the mikveh, but even perfectly new kelim have to be taken to the mikveh. The yishenim v'libnon, because let's think about it, even if we bought a used kelim, when we kasher it, what does the kashering accomplish? Chadoshim damu, they're considered completely new. But filachi by tefillah, and still tefillah is required. Mask of La Rav Sheshis asked if that's the halacha, that it needs tefillah, and has nothing to do because of any blia in it. Yachah filah zuza de sarbala nami, the scissor that they use to cut, a scissor that's bought, should also need tefillah. Amalei Rav, Kli Suda Mur Parsha. The only type of kalim that need to be taken to the mikveh are taken, a kalim that are used for food purposes. If they're not used for food, they don't need a mikveh. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avua, Loi Shana El Bekuchin Kumasa Shahaya. Only if they're bought from the Nochri for you to use. Avo Shulin, if you borrow a kalim from a Nochri, Loi, there's no requirement for tefillah. Says the Gemara, Rav Yitzchak by Yosef Zomer Mona the Mar the Mavik Chavim, he bought a keli that was made out of waste, animal waste. Savalat Bilan, he thought he has to take it to the mikveh. Amalei Ahum Arbona Rav Yaakov Shemei Ledei Lefarshle Minei Rav Yochanan. I heard the halacha from Yochanan. Klei Matchas Amur Mepasha. The only type of kelim that are mentioned in the Torah are kelim that are made out of metal. Amar Rav Rashi, but now comments Rav Ashi, Hani Kli Zechuchis, glass kelim, Hoyel V'chinish Dabri Yeshlem Tekana, since you could fix a glass keli, so they're similar to Kli Matchis, And since the similar to Kli Matchis, so just like, so the Rabbanan said that just like by Kli Matchis, you have to take him to the mikveh, Kli's Chuchis should also be taken to the mikveh. Says the Mara, Kunya, a keli that's made out of earthenware, but it has a lead glaze. Says my pligivah Rav Acha Ravina. It's the subject of Machlokes Rav Acha Ravina. Karama to chilasoi. Since it started off as a kli cheres, and kli cheres doesn't need to go to mikvah, this doesn't have to take into the mikvah. For karama kesoifoi, that it has, since it's going to have a lead metal coating, then it has to be taken to the mikvah. And says the Gemara of Hilchasa kesoifa, that the halacha is a required tefillah. Ibailu meshkantamai. If a Nachri borrowed from a Jew, and he left with the Jew a keli as a mashkin that the Yisrael is allowed to use, what is going to be the halacha regarding tefillah on that keli? Amar Mabar of Asher, Abba mashkin le oivkachavim ka, said the Kaspana. My father of Ashi received from a Nachri a mashkin, a silver cup, that delay. He took it to the mikveh of Ishtabei, and he used it, and then he drank from it. Body comments, v'lo yada dano. I wasn't sure why my father felt the need to take it to the mikveh. Was it mishum de kusav mishkanta kazvina damya? That his opinion is that a mashkin is treated like something that you bought, and just like when you buy it, we're learning you have to take it to the mikveh. This too, yama de chazav kachav nedat l'shkui. He knew that this nachri intends to leave this mashkin with the Yisrael. And since he knew that this Nachri intends to leave the mashkin with the Yisrael, so it already became his keli. And since it already became his keli, that's why he had to take it to the mikveh. There's a very interesting discussion about if somebody becomes a ger. So, till now, he wasn't Jewish. And now that he's a Jew, does he have to take all of his kalim? Does he have to take all of his kalim to the mikveh? Because these are kalim that would belong to a Nachri, and now they belong to a Jew, and maybe they require mikveh. The Paiskim discussed this, and the Chibina Rav, quoting from the Avni Nezer, says that when a Nachri becomes a Jew, everything that he has becomes like it belongs to a Jew, not like it would ever belong to a Nachri. What I think he means to say is that the halacha is that if a Jew buys a keli from a Nachri, when a Jew buys a keli from a Nachri, the halacha tells him that he has to kasher, that he has to take it to the mikveh. This Jew, the ger, did not buy a keli from a Nachri. The keli became his, and therefore tefillah might not be required. There are others that disagree, and I saw that there are three opinions in the Paiskim. One opinion is the opinion that we just mentioned, that is that the keli doesn't require tefillah. Another opinion is that the keli does require tefillah, like we're learning in our Gemara. Anything that goes from being by a Nachri to Yisrael requires tefillah. And a third opinion is it differentiates between metal versus glass. As we just learned in the Gemara, the chiv kfilas kalim by metal is a chiv deraisa. So since it's a chiv deraisa, that's why tefillas kalim is required. And if we have a shiloh, we should do tefillas kalim. If it's glass that it's only midrabanon, then the halacha is we could be more lenient. The next question that the Paiskim discuss, another question, is sometimes you buy a metal can with food in it, and you open up the metal can, and then some people may reuse that metal can. And particularly, there's a connection to Hilcha Shabbos here. The connection to Hilcha Shabbos is, we know that many people are careful not to open up these types of cans on Shabbos. And the reason that they don't open these cans on Shabbos is because they're making it into a keli. So since than making it into a keli. So that could be used here for leniency. Meaning, who is opening the can? The Jew is the one that's opening the can. And since the Jew is the one that's opening the can, it means that the can is becoming a keli through a Jew. When is there a requirement to do tefillas kelim? When the keli, as we've been learning, is made by the nachri. This keli is made by the Jew, and since it's made by the Jew, there could be, that's why it doesn't require tefillas kelim. There's another heter, that even though the person may be using this can, it's not like it's becoming a full-fledged kelim. And since it's not becoming a full-fledged keli, so then the halacha is that the keli should not really, it doesn't have the din that it requires tefillah, which is a very important question that the Pesachim discuss. They sell these disposable pans. So a disposable pan for itself doesn't require tefillah's kelim because it's not a real keli. It's meant for one-time use. But many people use the disposable pans, not just for one time. What would be the halacha? So now it's not disposable. Will require tefillas kelim or not? So Rav Moshe Shternberg, the Shas of Tshuvas Verhoges, Chelik Gimel Simen Resh Nun Tes, his opinion is that it requires tefillas kelim. However, the Michas Yitzchak disagrees. And he says, this is in Chelik Zayin Simen Shin Aleph, his opinion is that it doesn't require tefillas kelim. He says, because even though it is not being disposed of immediately, it's being used over and again, it's not still a full-fledged keli. There's only that many times that you could use this keli. And since there's only that many times when this keli can be used, that's why it still has the title of a disposable keli. And since it has the status of a disposable keli, it doesn't have to be tefilled. It's interesting that at a wedding, at the tenoyim, the minig is that after the tenoyim, we break a kli cheres. And after, by the wedding, by the chuppah, we break a glass. Why? So one pshat that I saw is that the Tamein Hagim brings in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. He says that the cheres, the Gemara just said, that glass is not the same as cheres. What makes glass different than cheres? Glass, the Gemara said, can be repaired. Kli cheres cannot be repaired. In halacha, for tenoyim, there is no method that the halacha gives us how to break a tenoyim. And therefore, it's like a cheres. Like if it's broke, there's no way to break it. But a chuppah is like glass. It can be fixed. And therefore, marriage could also be like a kli zechuchas. The Pesachim discuss what is the halacha regarding a keli that cannot be taken to the mikveh. Many of these coffee makers, etc., different types of kelim cannot be taken to the mikveh. What should be done with such a keli? So there are some that suggest that since that keli is used only by plugging it in, a keli that's used only by plugging in as a keli that's considered like mechuba l'karka. And something that's mechuba l'karka, the halacha is that is not mekabel tumah. And therefore, if this keli is only used by being connected to the socket, the electric socket, it doesn't require tefillas kelim. The truth of the matter is, it's not such a simple psak. Because, yes, something that's mechubal karka is not mekabel tumah. But as we've been discussing in our shir, the halacha of tefillas kelim is really not connected to the halacha of tumah tahara. It's as we quoted the Yerushalmi, to take it from the tumah of the Nachri to the Kedusha of Yisrael. So that isn't your regular hilcha tumah and tahara. And therefore, since it's not your regular halacha of tumah and tahara, the halacha is that it doesn't have this special rule of mechubal karka. So what should be done? So there are two things that could be done. If you are able to take it apart and reassemble, so as we said earlier, when the Jew took it apart and made it not usable and reassembled it, that means it was a keli manufactured by Yisroel. And a keli that's manufactured by Yisroel doesn't require tefillah. Or, if there's no other option, sell the keli to the Nachri. Let a Nachri be the owner of the keli, who gives you permission to use the keli. And since the keli belongs to the Nachri, but he gives you permission to use it, so it's a keli of a Nachri. And a keli of a Nachri doesn't require tefillas kelim. It's also interesting to point out that if we look in halacha, the Torah speaks about different metals that are mechuyev in tefillas that are metals. The pasuk says, "Achas azov, asakesef, asnechoshes, asabazel, asabdil, asayferes." These are all considered metal, and as we've been learning in our Gemara, anything manufactured from metal is mechuyev in tefillas kelim. The interesting question that came up is that aluminum. So clearly in the time of Chazal, in the time of the Torah and Chazal, there was no aluminum. What's going to be the halacha b'zman hazeh? Does the halacha of aluminum have, does aluminum, which is a lot of kalim are made out of aluminum, have to have tefillas kalim? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zitzal, in a letter to Rav Kohn, who wrote the Sefer Tefillas Kalim, says that if we see in our Gemara that on Kli Zchuchis, which is just similar to metal, the Gemara says Tefillas Kalim are required, then certainly, says Rav Yaakov Zitzal, on aluminum, which is certainly a form of metal, that Tefillas Kalim it would be required. A counter-argument that I saw some make is that it's really not the same. That it's a good argument. However, we don't have a right to make our own takanos. So the Gemara says that glass requires tefillas kelim, and that's it. Yes, aluminum is certainly more similar to metal than glass, but the Gemara never said that aluminum requires tefillas kelim, and therefore, maybe aluminum doesn't require tefillas kelim. Of course, the minig everybody has is that they toivel aluminum. What's going to be the halacha, the Paiskim discuss? Somebody buys a beautiful big silver cup, becher, kaishal yo, and it's just used to put on the table to pour the wine in for the kaishal yo. So the question is, it's not a klisuda. It's not going to be used for drinking. And since it's not going to be used for drinking, the halach is maybe doesn't require tefillas kelim. So there is no question, the Paiskim say, that you should do tefillas kelim on it. And the reason that you should use tefillas kelim is because it may end up being used for that purpose. And in general, somebody may not know that you didn't toivel it, and therefore all kelim in a house should be toiveled. And that's why, for example, if somebody has a water urn, and somebody has a pitcher, but right now he doesn't want to use it for pitcher purposes. He wants to use it for a flower pot. Still, the Paiskim suggest that it is inappropriate, and that it is inappropriate to have in your home a keli that wasn't toiveled. Up to the point where I saw a shaila, that what happens if somebody has a keli that he doesn't know if it's chayiv tefillas kelim. So the halacha tells us that what should you do? Do tefillas kelim, but don't make a bracha. And now the question is, what is better? Should you do tefillas kelim without a bracha, or should you wait until you know what the halacha tells you, and then maybe have to make a bracha? And I saw that the Paiskim suggest that since one should not have in his home a keli that maybe requires tefillas kelim that a bracha wasn't made on. Therefore, the person, even though he may lose out the opportunity to make a bracha, should still toivel the keli immediately and not leave in your house a keli that wasn't toiveled. The last question that we need to discuss is somebody was served food on a keli that wasn't toiveled, but it's kosher, and the pot is a kosher pot, and the silverware and it's kosher, but they weren't toiveled. May you eat the food. L'chatchila, you should not eat that food, but b'di'evid, the halacha is that you're allowed to eat that food.